We'll begin. We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. What do you think of when you hear the word righteousness? It is a very important law and gospel word in the Bible that needs to be understood properly. Martin Luther used to be scared of the words, the righteousness of God, because ultimately, at least before the Lord turned him around, he saw it in a law sense only, as God having to punish him for his sins. The Apostle Paul, at one time, used to think that he could achieve this righteousness by keeping the law. Both men had to be led by God to view the righteousness of God as a wonderful gift from God according to His grace. Think of righteousness as the exact opposite of sin. Sin means doing what is wrong in God's eyes, whereas righteousness equals doing what is right in God's eyes. Sin happens when people break God's commandments. Righteousness happens when people manage to keep God's commandments. But that sounds pretty hypothetical, doesn't it? Now, here's something for you to realize about righteousness as it applies to you personally. God expects you to have it always. A perfect righteousness as your record with Him, meaning every commandment kept. No sin charged against you, not even one. But that is not how we live, is it? Not even for a day. We need to get the bad news about this. The reality of our situation with Jesus not yet in the picture. The way it would go with you and I based on what we do. Here's what the Bible says. Galatians 3. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed. Basically, God says, be perfect, be holy, or face the consequences, the curse of death and hell. Let's not resent God or blame Him for saying that. This is the way holiness is, the way it sounds. God has to be true to Himself, true to His holy nature, as well as true to these standards of His justice. Unfortunately for you and me, we're left in a helpless spot. That requirement of holiness is utterly beyond us. And the curse, should it happen, would surely consume us. Our only hope of survival is the good news. Jesus stepping forth in our place as the substitute righteousness that God promised. So on a Sunday afternoon, you're watching an NFL game and you see substitutes going in and out. One player takes the place of another. If you were to read the statistics of that game the next day, you would not expect to see this guy getting credit for that guy's touchdowns. Nor would we expect to see this person being blamed in the stats for that guy's penalties. It doesn't work that way with us, which makes God's plan and practice of substitution all the more remarkable. By design, Jesus did all the right things. He did all the work. And we get to take credit for at all. Or to flip it around from the negative point of view, we commit all the sins which are worse than penalties. We commit all those sins against God, and Jesus took the blame for them all. Either way you look at it, and really you should combine them, you and I get to have a wonderful turn of events. Jesus supplying for us all that God requires of us. And the Bible calls that reality righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The same writer, Paul, spoke a similar way about himself in Philippians 3. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Please think of those passages and others like them when you have to face the really tough questions. Am I acceptable in God's sight? Will you pass or fail on judgment day? Do you and I qualify for eternal life according to those very, very high standards? This is the kind of test, by the way, where you and I need 100% across the board, the ultimate A+, in order to pass. Well, thankfully, God has granted to us what the Savior has earned for us in the great book of heaven. The A+ of Jesus has replaced every one of our F's, every one of our incompletes. It sounds like wonderful news for that last day, your final day on earth. Is that it? Something to bank on for the future only? Don't think like that. This gift of free righteousness, Tristan, is something to use right now, in this life. It'll be the only answer to a guilty conscience. The only way to get rid of shame and disgrace. You can think of it as the key that opens God's door for you to access the resources of God's power in your prayers. Because of the righteousness of Christ covering you, God will answer them, giving you what you truly need in His own good time and way. Also, this free righteousness has changed your identity, raised your status. Because of it, you are adopted into God's family, claimed as His own, named as one of His children, with an inheritance that can't be beat. Through faith in His Son, we have become His people whose ugly past is forgotten, wiped away, whose turbulent present is in His capable hands always, whose unknown future will surely include, when it's all said and done, the glory of heaven. We owe it all to Jesus, our righteousness from God, who guarantees our life with God. Amen. Let us conclude our worship singing hymn 380, stanzas 2 and 5. Two stanzas, 2 and 5 of hymn 380.